Thank you for spending time with me. I want to spend time with you because of your importance. And it's been my endeavor, and I'm sure many others in your life, to help reach you with the truth. Because remember, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You have to know the truth in life. You don't make any decisions without knowing what the truth is about it before you make decisions. It's a smart thing to do. Now, if you have, as I hope is true for you, that you have been reached with the gospel and have responded to God through His Son Jesus in such a way as to have your life under His management, and that you are indeed what we call all in, which is what it means to be a Christian. No half-hearted Christian, either all in or you're not in. And so we're all in, but our subject has been, and is today, all in order to reach out. So here's our subject. That's our third part. If you missed the first two, pick them up first, and get to it, because this is the sequence of things is really important. And so the last time we were together, we talked about adequate motives for reaching out to others, and so we discuss five of them. One of them is that is because we love God. The second one is because we love those that God loves. Wow. You know, if God loves somebody and you love God, you have to love those He loves as well. And that's why I've learned to treat everybody for what they truly are, not for their behavior, not for their station or rank and position in life, but as persons loved by God. Someone for whom Christ died. And so we want to reach out because we love God and because we love those that God loves. We also want to reach out because there is a payday coming. It is appointed unto man once a day, and after this judgment, I want to get as many ready to get a good report on that day as possible. And so that's another reason for reaching out. And then fear for the condition of the souls of others. Some, remember the scripture we covered, some saved through fear. There's a lot of people come to the truth because they're afraid of what consequences are if they don't come to the truth. That's a good motive. It's a good enough motive. Whatever it takes to get you to Jesus. And it's amazing that most people don't look up until they're laying on their backs. So sometimes if we get put and laid down on our backs and can't get up, that could be a good thing, because then we look up. And that's what's really important. So look up. And so the last one we did was to reach out because we are representatives. That's what ambassador means. I'm an ambassador for Christ, trying to bring others into reconciliation with God. And so those are the five reasons why we are motivated to help people. Now, if you recall, I used this diagram before, that first thing is we want to discover the holy the motives, adequate motives for reaching out. And our second one there is manners. What are the holy manners? Because manners, the mannerisms that we use, are really important. For example, I think it was Marshall McLuhan, a professor, University of Toronto, that years ago wrote a book called The Medium is the Message. I don't know. I guess you can read the whole book, but if you read the cover, you get a whole lot of what the book is about. For example, if I said to you, I'm really happy today, but I look sad, you won't believe that I'm happy because the medium is red instead of the message. And people can say, I'm really sad today. Wow, it's a really tough day. But the medium is happy, the message is sad. They contradict. People tend to read the medium, not just the message. How many people do you know who have said, I love you, but their behavior is certainly not loving? You see, the medium and the message. So what we're talking here now about the manners, what kind of manners should we have? We're adequately motivated to reach others for God and for their own benefit, of course. But what should be the manners? So here we go. The First, this is going to be amazing because I only got one point. They kid me at church and say I should be more pointed and have less points. So today I'm having 1 point. Can you imagine? We're only going to do 1 point today. Here it is. And the manner for reaching out, the mannerisms must be Christ-likeness. Now watch this. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, that's who you are. Oh, let's stop there for a moment. The elect of God, who is that? Anyone who comes into Christ becomes the elect of God if they will repent and believe, which they are able to do. You become the elect. We are elect in the Son. Jesus is the elect one, and because we're in Christ, we become the elect. So anyone who comes into Christ becomes the elect. So don't waste your time with this mental agonizing torture. Am I elect or not elect? If you come into Christ, you're elect. So watch this. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Now here it is. Holy. 2. Beloved. Bowels of mercy. Kindness. Humbleness of mind. Meekness. Long-suffering. So we were talking about being the elect of God, and one translation puts it this way, as God's picked representatives of the new humanity, purified, beloved of God, isn't that wonderful? Be merciful in your actions, kindly in your heart, humble in your mind. And it goes on talking about forbearing one another, forgiving one another. And if anybody's got a quarrel against you, forgive them even as Christ forgave you, so do ye also to them. Don't worry if you're not getting all this. I'm going to review it. Other translations, accept life. Be most patient and tolerant with one another. Always ready to forgive if you have a difference of an opinion with anyone. And then it goes on to say this. And above all these things, put on charity, love, which is the bond of perfectness. And then, translation. And above everything else, be truly loving. For love is the golden chain of all virtues. So we're talking here about Christ-likeness. And it doesn't end there. It says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Don't ever do something that you lose your peace for. To which you're called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of Christ, translation, rule in your hearts. Remembering that as members of the same body, you are called to live in harmony. And never forget to be thankful for what God has done for you. Now, we've just gone through a list, and I'm going to go back carefully so that we don't just skip through it. But that passage that we're dealing with doesn't end there. Here's some more of it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And translation, let Christ's teaching live in your hearts, making you rich in true wisdom. Teach and help one another along the right road with your psalms and hymns and Christian songs, singing God's praises with joyful hearts. And then it says, and whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Translation, and whatever you may have to do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, thanking God the Father through Him. Now, I know I've gone fast, so it's okay. I'm going to slow it down after a couple of comments. To become a Christian is to become, is to be all in, and is to be Christ-like. You know, the Christians were first called Christians, according to the book of Acts, in the city of Antioch. Okay? So here's what happened. Christians were going to come. The disciples were coming to Antioch, and rumor spread they were coming. And so people lined up on the roofs of their houses, and when they showed up, these Christians, and they called them Christians, little Christ, that's what a Christian was called by them. Here comes the little Christ. They started throwing rotten tomatoes and food at them and stones at them. Here come the little Christ. All these little, think they're the little Christ. And it was a term of derision and a mockery. They were called little Christ. Never was a ridicule, a mocking, so prophetic. For that is exactly what a Christian is. Is someone who is like Christ. Remember, if you go to Romans 8:28, the verse we all know, for all things work together for good to them love God, that call according to his plan. For whom he did foreknow them, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Those whom he did before, week before, month before, whenever before, came to know, which is a really important phrase in Bible. It's talking about a union, not an academic information thing. Those whom he did before come to know them. Look at this. This is real predestination. Anybody who comes into Christ is predestined, predetermined to be like Christ, to be like my Son. Remember, they'll know we are Christians by our love. So, what is the manners for reaching out that enables us to properly reach people? And so I'm saying to you, it's Christ-likeness. And watch this now. Back through the scriptures that we just covered, this is what we learned. Holy. The absence of immorality. The absence of lying, cheating, stealing, all you name it, all the vices, right? If we're going to have the right manners, we must be like Christ, holy. It's amazing, just recently, it's a sad moment for me to meet somebody who purportedly was a Christian and now, after many months, has started a relationship and it's already a fornication relationship. And I said to her, what are all those people you have been witnessing to going to think now? If we are going to represent Christ, we have to be holy. We have to be living the life, the Christ life. Holy is number one. And then we need to be merciful, according to that scripture. Merciful. Not condemning. Not pointing fingers. Not watch this now. Not judgmental. That's what the devil's like. He's called the accuser. We don't go around accusing people. In the next session, we're going to learn how to avoid that. Kind. God. Kindness, it's a big deal. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He never did anything that wasn't kind. And we're going to learn next time, how are you kind to Pharisees and hypocrites? And we're going to learn how to do that. We'll learn from Jesus. But kindness. I think it was Aristotle who first said, everybody you meet is fighting some kind of a battle you don't know about, so be kind. That's what Jesus was like. We must have humility of mind. according, this is all buried in the scriptures, not buried, but it's all in the scriptures. And I'm just pulling the points out of those scriptures right now and listing them for you. Chameleon, we're not cocky and high-minded and superior-minded. We don't try to reach people by outsmarting them or let them think we're smarter than they and they're not as bright as we are. Humility of mind. Meekness is my strength under God's control. It's the opposite to anger. Meek. Good. Does not, just because it rhymes with weak doesn't make it weak. Meek is really strong. Means nobody can tamper with your temperament. You can, it bounces off you. Everything they do, it bounces off you like water off a duck's back. Because meekness has got its own posture of strength that comes from God. You'd be long-suffering. Remember, that's what God's like. Long-suffering. And when we go to reach out, they will probably cause us some suffering. They may make fun. They may mock. They may call you names. They could do anything. Doesn't matter. Because you remember when they mocked Jesus? What did he do? He answered not a word. When they ridiculed him, he didn't ridicule them back. He didn't do back to them what they did to him. To suffer, love suffers long. Forbearing, that means putting up with. If you're going to reach people, got to be Christ-like, and he was tolerant. And then forgiving. Whoa. See, when you're in a witnessing situation and somebody says something disgusting towards you, you better not take 3 days to forgive them. You better not take 30 seconds. 3 seconds. That's probably too long, because if you don't forgive them right away, you'll react to what their negative finger-pointing condemnation was, and you'll do back to them what they... Forgiveness stops giving them the power over you. You let it go. You forbear it, and you forgive it. You just let it go right then and there, immediately. I remember asking the Lord one time, what kind of a time gap can I have between the time somebody offends me and when I have to forgive them? Do I get 3 days or a month? 3 hours? And I can't say this was God, but it came to my mind immediately that, in the military, you're in sleeping in the barracks, and a sergeant comes in and calls you to attention. How much time you got to be at attention? So, is there any time length? And I think, I can't remember, but it's something like 30 seconds. So, after the call, you can cuss and say anything you want to, but in 30 seconds, you better be on your feet, at attention, at the foot of your bed. Ha! And I thought, that's still too much time, because I can do a lot of damage in 30 seconds. Developing a forgiving spirit enables us to forgive upon contact of offense. I can't let this slip by. Psalm 119, verse 165 says this: great peace have they which love thy laws, thy way of doing things, and nothing shall offend them. Oh. If we love the ways of God, and here's one of them, forgive. Oh, do you remember the Lord's Prayer? Of course. But most people skip the two verses right after the Lord's Prayer, and this is what it says. Because remember in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So, you've just prayed and say, God, I want you to forgive me the way I forgave my husband, my wife, the business partner, whatever. That's a real dangerous way to pray. You're asking God to forgive you after the same criteria that you are forgiving towards others.
This is like, careful.
The two verses after the Lord's Prayer say this: if you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you yours. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, oh, this is shocking. This is jerk the slack out of anybody. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive you yours.
Oh.
So we must learn to treat others the way God treats us. Forgiving. And then it goes on to say love, which is the big deal, the bond of perfectness, perfection, love. You want to read about the 15 characteristics of charity in the famous love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning at verse 3. Strong. See, remember, we're talking here about reaching out. If the person you're trying to reach is treated uncharitably, unlovingly, unforgivingly, he will not be reached. I doubt that very many people have ever genuinely been witnessed to by a loving, Christ-like person. I hope I'm really wrong about that. But I know this, that once this other party knows that you're there because you love them, you can say almost anything and everything the nice way, the right way. And because they know that you care about them without any personal benefit as a motive, that's what love is. Well, you can talk straight to their hearts. It is kind of love that paves the way for us the right to be heard. There was a day, I used to do a lot of street work once upon a time. I'm a pastor now. I remember, I could tell you story upon story, and I'm being tempted right now while I'm sitting in front of the camera, and I'm going to try to avoid, maybe I'll get sneaking one little story, but I'm on the main street of town, stopping everybody I meet to talk to me. And one kid, oh, I guess he was 18 years old, hands me an invitation with a roughly cartoon picture on it and says, come up for a nude body rub, first 10 minutes free or something like that. I asked him what his name was. Yeah. I said to him, I don't know if anybody cares about you, but I'm glad you stopped me, and I'm glad you made me this vulgar offer. Because I walk these streets trying to get people to go to heaven, and you're out here trying to send them to hell. Don't you know you're in deep trouble with God? That boy recognized the sincerity I had for his well-being. Ended up, He said, I do this because it's my job. I said, well, I'd like to talk to your job. Your boss. When are you going to see your boss? He said, tomorrow. I said, how be I meet you tomorrow, and I'll go and explain with you to your boss why you're quitting your job. The story goes on. He did meet me the next day after committing his own life to Christ. And I got to explain to his boss why he was quitting his job. And when I walked into that place, the boss was standing behind the counter. I walked up and introduced myself to him, besides this friend. And I said, I don't know if anybody has ever loved you enough, cared about you, but you're in big trouble. This is a hell-soaked business. He said, well, it's the money. I said, well, it's blood money. I wouldn't want it on my hand. I got to, and listen to what's happening, the dynamics of this. Love paves the way for you to be honest and frank, but caringly with somebody else. We learn And we must like be Christ-like when we deal with people. Peaceful. Calm, cool, collected, tranquil. Oh, great, very. And that scripture says, let the peace rule in your hearts by what you are called. Peace ruling means, one translation says, acting as the umpire. If you can't, if you're, what you're about to do it doesn't have peace, don't do it. Let the peace rule. Calm down, relax, be at peace. Use Christ's words. Let the words of Christ dwell in your hearts. Use the words of Jesus. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly, that scripture says. In all wisdom. What is wisdom? The ability to see every life situation from God's point of view. If I were to crawl under the desk and look up, my view of the camera would be very distorted. In fact, I wouldn't be able to see it because of my perspective, my location. I wish I'd probably taken time to draw or to put on the screen a one of these mazes where you got to enter here and find your way through to the other side and go down a dead-end wall and you got to turn around and go another way. Easy to do if you can look down at the maze and see where all the paths go. That's what wisdom is. It is the ability to look at every life situation from a perspective from above. God's perspective. That's what wisdom is. And then we're supposed to be able to explain. So, have a reason for the hope that lies within you. So, answer such a way. Be encouraging. Encourage them. Motivate them positively. And it's strange that music is thrown in here because I don't... it's pretty strong stuff. The right music. The right music. And I remember I had a team that traveled with me for 5 years or so. As few as 12, as many as 24 full-time. We met at the Calgary Stampede, big outreach, with another team called the Agape Force. And I learned a lot from them. We're on a street corner, and we're there on stage. It was their turn. And they just began to sing worship songs. And the audience gathered, listening to them, and they weren't singing horizontally to the people. They were singing vertically. God, worship, worship, worshiping God. That's interesting, because the scripture says that God dwells in the praises of Israel. He sits enthroned in the praises. See, you can't preach Jesus without praising him. You can't praise him without preaching him. They're kind of mixed up together. Right? So I watched on that main street, and I learned so much that we worship God and people will see it and hear and shall look, trust in the Lord. That's what the scripture says. Many shall see it, shall fear, and shall trust in the Lord. So, I don't know how that fits in. How are you going to use it? Perhaps music. Make sure it's vertical. Make sure it's worship. And then as it were to be graceful, singing with grace in your heart, speaking with grace, we're gracious people. Want to reach people? Be gracious. You want to turn them off and let them run and walk away? Just don't be nice. Don't be graceful. But if you want to reach them, and then whatever we say or do, we should do it in the name of Jesus. Oh, the power of that name. Oh, the power. And then it says that we should be thankful. Be thankful unto God the Father. Well, here's the whole list. That should blur your eyes for a moment. But let me conclude by saying to you, we've talked about the right motives for reaching out. We're all in to reach out with right motives. And we're all in to reach out with the right manners. the right mannerisms. We represent Christ. To represent means to represent. They'll know we are Christians by our love. So when you get the opportunity or take the opportunity, whether it's sitting on the curb beside somebody has no place to go, in a park where they're loitering, at the mall where you get access to talk to people, wherever it is. This love, Christ-likeness, is going to show. It is what makes us different. It is authentic. We are to be like Christ. And when people have talked to us, because of our manners, holy, merciful, kind, humility of mind, meekness and long-suffering and forbearing and forgiving, and they see our charity, our love, they see that we're living in peace. We use Christ's words. We have wisdom. We are able to explain and encourage. And we got, man, we're just like a music song singing to them, graceful, doing everything in the name of Christ and thankful to God for this opportunity to talk to this person. When they see that, they'll think they've been in the presence of Jesus, because the truth of the matter is, they have. I say, preacher, how can you say that? The scriptures refer to genuine Christians as Christ's body, the body of Jesus. That means that we are to him today what his body was to him when he was here 2,000 years ago. Now you are the body of Jesus. See, when I got that my father and mother were really the body of Christ, then I began to treat them like I would treat Christ, because they are the body of Jesus. And spouse, and on. Oh. So, my friends, all of us are contagious. Everybody is contagious. Every time we rub shoulders with somebody, we rub off on them some of what we are. And my hope is that you are already so much like Christ that when you reach out, people know they've been in your presence and they have felt indeed like the presence of Jesus himself.
Do you ever wonder how to handle that difficult person in your life? David L. Johnston has a free ebook just for you, How to Handle Difficult People. Get the free ebook today by going to nothingbutthetruth.org/difficult.